Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's a new year, brand new year, 2023. And they said it wouldn't last.
Purge at midnight.
Purge at midnight. You were telling me about that movie, Eric the Tech. Happy New Year, folks. Happy New Year. Hope you had a safe and happy New Year. I hope everyone in our listening and viewing audience did. Excuse me while I... apparently hair and makeup didn't make it today, so anyway.
Still recovering from that hangover?
You know something? No. The hardest thing I had to drink on New Year's Eve was my coffee, a cup of coffee. How come this thing's not... Okay, there we go. Anyway, I hope all of you had a great New Year's. All right. But you did as well? You had one?
A hangover?
No. A good New Year's?
No. I don't drink.
No, I know. But how was your New Year's is what I'm asking. New Year's Eve?
It was good.
Okay. Thank you. How was your time off?
It was good.
All right.
Good to be back, though.
It's good to be back, indeed. All right, a lot of information to get into. Sorry about that slow start. Oh, my goodness, people hate that, but and I do as well. But I've got a lot of information to get into. I'm expecting John Moore here in just a little bit. But before I do, I was going through some many videos, many stories, articles, reports, and I saw this out of California. This is 18 seconds of video. And I thought to myself, this is how this year, I believe, is going to go. Because I was, before the show, I was talking to Eric. I said, what should our theme be? Not for this show, but for the year. And all I can think of is, again, trying to drink from a fire hose. Caution. I can see a yellow caution light. I can see a lot of things happening this year that really an extension of 2022. And you'll remember, I think at the beginning of 2022, I said, if you like 2021, 2022 is going to, you're going to love 2022. And I think it's going to be the same, except worse in 23. I believe the more people that wake up, the more the powers, the globalist interests, they have to lash out, and they've got to put down the uprising before it begins. So that's what I think is going to happen. So 18 seconds to depict what I think 2023 is going to look like is the fireworks display that took place, I guess it was in San Diego, California, New Year's Eve. 25 minutes of fireworks. They had this big show planned. 25 minutes worth of fireworks. It was over 18 seconds. Yeah, that's what she said. Okay. Yeah, now, come on.
Radio listeners, we apologize for this one.
For the noise?
It's going to be a bunch of noise.
You can do it without the noise, but I thought this was, or you can, yeah, tone down the noise. But watch this and think in your mind, apply this to current events. So you're expecting a show to last 25 minutes, it lasts 18 seconds. This is what it looks like. Probably probably shouldn't have thrown my cigar when I did, right? But if you think about
that. I love that, the girl that says that was so good at the end.
Well, that was... I mean, think about
those
that.
Those dudes are burning on the ground over there.
Really? But isn't that a perfect metaphor? I mean, it would be a metaphor, right? Simile, metaphor. Wouldn't that be? I mean, isn't that a perfect metaphor? I believe this is what's going to happen. I think you're going to see, who said it? Churchill, I think, or there are days, or there are decades when nothing happens, and there are days that decades happen, or weeks that decades happen. And I think it's going to be the latter. Okay. I think I said that right. Anyway. One thing I want to dispense, I want to address right away here, is I've been getting a lot of emails. I mean, just a ton of emails. Why aren't you addressing the Brunson case? Now, how many, show of hands, how many people know about the Brunson case? All right.
Because we were off all week last week.
Well, I wasn't going to address this, but I think I need to because of so many people that have sent me emails on this. Here is the story. Now I want to say this. I the Brunson brothers, well known in the music industry, apparently. Now, I believe they're patriots. I believe they're well-intentioned, but I believe that this is nothing more than hopium. There is a court case, a writ of censure that was submitted, okay? And it's docketed on the Supreme Court. And this has to do with the failure, this has to do with the 2020 elections, the failure of our elected officials to uphold their oath of office. Some 385, I think, are named defendants. The case is Brunson v. Roland J. Brunson, petitioner, versus Alma S. Adams et al. And I believe there are 385 individuals, including Biden, Harris, Pence, just a whole slew, the entire Democratic Party of Congress, essentially, for not upholding their oaths with respect to the 2020 elections. And there are a lot of people talking about this case in the alternative media. Now, look, again, I want so badly for the 2020 election to be shown for what it was, and that's a theft. But I don't want people to get hung up on things that are not going to happen or have little chance, if any, to happen. And that's what this is. Now, I'm not going to make many friends. And I'll tell you what, by talking about this, but I've got to deliver the truth. As just like this wonderful article, The Truth About the Brunson Case, this from Adam Carter, Uncover DC. And if you want to put that up on the screen so people can see that, that'd be great. I want to talk to you about this just briefly. Right off the bat, just like I said, this column isn't going to earn anyone money. To the contrary, many of you will likely hate us for writing it, okay? And let me just, okay. The purpose is not to create division or call out other conservative influencers simply because we have differing opinions. We have all spent years watching blatant government corruption, constitutional rights being trampled, and elections stolen, all with no one being held accountable. Boy, is he exactly right. And then there's Fox News clip of Representative Devin Nunes, former Rep. Devin Nunes, reacting to declassified Russian intel. And then he goes on to say that there are some people who exploit who will exploit, profit from, or simply grift off desperation by filling the need with a false hope or hopium. And I've addressed this as well. Now, look, I'm not accusing anyone of this, okay? Not at all, not in the least. But what I am saying is the Brunson v. Adams case that I've gotten so many emails about. Folks, please understand this for what this is. And having been an investigator for 35 years, but now, of course, I've got nothing to do with the Supreme Court, but I'm very familiar with the court process. Just because something is docketed in the Supreme Court in this case does not mean it's going to be heard. Okay. Starting in this article, and you can find this article, a link to this article, I should say, at HagmanReport.com in the show notes. Just open up today's show notes. Where the case really stands, writes the author. First, we need to dispel some misunderstandings about the status of the case. It's not scheduled for a hearing before the Supreme Court. That's true. So far, it's simply a petition for a writ of certiorari or cert that's been scheduled for conference. Now, all that requires, all you have to do for that is filling out an online application and paying a filing fee. But you've got to do it precise. In other words, when you make such a when you make such a writ or a petition, it has to be exact, especially when you're dealing with the Supreme Court. Recently, constitutional attorney Robert Barnes, a member of the Supreme Court bar, now he's filed countless petitions for cert. He's made oral arguments in front of SCOTUS just a slew of times. He explained the process for filing a petition. And it's got to be on a certain paper. It's got to be a certain size. It's got to be written in a certain way with a certain printer. It's unbelievable the hoops that you've got to jump through. Now, this is scheduled for conference on the 6th of January. And again, if you don't know about this, don't worry about it. If you know about it and you can't wait for this, I'd like you to rethink this, okay? Because there are people out there that believe justice will be done by the Supreme Court this beginning on the 6th of January. Now, that does not mean, again, the Brunsons and the people who are shilling for the case, okay? I have nothing against them. In fact, God bless them. They're doing something. However, please understand this for what this is. A conference is simply where the justices meet and vote, discuss, and then vote on which cases that they'll grant cert for. In other words, you need at least four of the judges to vote yes to accept a case and schedule that case for oral arguments, as pointed out by this author. Now, there was an order that came out of a recent conference. The justices considered 158 petitions for cert. They denied 157 and took one. So just because it's scheduled for a conference does not mean anything except just that. It's scheduled on the docket. Now, I'm going to let Attorney Barnes, explain the rest in this video. This video is 3 minutes and 12 seconds in length, and he gets into the process a little bit better, I think, than I could. So if we can play the video that's embedded in this. This is the second video for those following at home. And he's on with another attorney and talking about this case in particular. Go ahead.
Can you give us a 2 minute, 20 second rundown on Brunson that I will clip and put to Twitter tomorrow?
So Brunson is not a serious case. It's brought by some pro se litigants who want, everybody tossed out for not keeping their oath about the 2020 election in Congress. So it's a politically, rhetorically effective suit. legally, it's a meritless suit. It got dismissed at every single stage, and the people surrounding the suit have falsely propagated it and deliberately or because they don't understand how the Supreme Court operates, misinterpreted the Supreme Court's actions. The Supreme Court did not request the case. The Supreme Court has not greenlit the case. The Supreme Court has done nothing it doesn't do in every case. The Supreme Court, to its credit, is very generous with its time about helping people file a petition in the right way, file it on the right time, file it in the right format, particularly pro se litigants like this. They're the best court in America by a long mile at helping the little guy properly get his petition before the U.S. Supreme Court. Great credit to the Supreme Court and its personnel on that side of the aisle. These folks are trying to interpret that as Supreme Court specially interested in the case. Supreme Court's going to take it. Supreme Court's going to handle it. And here's where you can donate now. To donate for what? You don't have any lawyers. You don't have any costs. You haven't suffered any financial injury. What exactly is the money for? As Tracy Beans pointed out herself. This is a case that's useless. And the reason why I'm hostile to it, I mostly ignored it. I get emails, texts, notes, and comments every single day from people who have been misled about this case. They think it's a serious case. They think it's a sincere case. They think it's a legally credible case. They think the U.S. Supreme Court has expressed special interest in it. None of that is true. Every case, the clerks are very solicitous about helping you process your cert petition when you're pro se, especially. Every case goes to a conference vote. They filed their cert petition. The government thinks there's no chance, because they know there's no chance the case gets taken, so they didn't even reply. If the court once thinks they're even possibly thinking about taking the case, they request the government to reply. They didn't. They've already scheduled it for a conference where it will be rejected, guaranteed. There are very few times I guarantee anything. I guarantee you the U.S. Supreme Court will reject this case. This case has no chance. It frankly, from a legal perspective, it has no merit. It had no chance ever of being accepted. These are some pro se litigants who have done a good job raising a lot of money, misleading lots of people. And my problem with it is when it gets rejected, a lot of ordinary people, who some of whom help give money to these folks, will feel, oh, the legal system's a waste of time. Don't get involved. Don't support it. It's not worthwhile. Because the folks around these folks raising money have misled everybody about what's taking place and what's happened. The Brunson case is a nothing burger. Big, fat, nothing burger.
That might have been more.
All right. That was Robert Barnes. And look, you might not care for the individual, but the message is pretty clear, I think. He's got a great legal mind. Again, he's part of the Supreme Court bar, and which allows him to argue in front of the Supreme Court. You have to be a member of that bar specifically, and you have to have certain qualifications in order to do that. A lot of it is money, essentially, for the fees and such. But having said all of that, I understand that the money that he's talking about, there is attached to this, there is a campaign. Hey, send a letter to the Supreme Court. And so we can calculate how many letters to hear this case and show that there's public interest. So we can calculate how many letters are being sent out. Send us a buck in an envelope, you know, with a copy of your letter to us, meaning the coordinators of this particular case. That's what he's referencing. Now, I don't have a problem with any of this. Okay, I really don't, because we have to do something. I'm not hostile to this case. I'm not hostile to anyone involved in this case. I'm hostile to the people who did not fulfill their oaths, as pointed out in this case, except when you dig deep into the actual workings of how, the three branches of government, for example. You get into the civics, and the author, along with Tracy Beans, did a great job. Again, you don't have to like any of these people. That's not what this is about. This is about truth. This is about people wanting to correct, to right a wrong. And I believe we were wronged as a country, as a nation, as a people in the 2020 and even the 2022 election. But for people to have their hopes uplifted because of this, oh, the Supreme Court is going to hear this. No, no, it's on the docket for conference. Now, one thing he mentioned, and I think he mentioned this, but I just want to drive this home. You've got nine justices. Well, let's say each justice, just for even numbers, have 10 clerks. I don't know how many they have. Okay, so that would be what, 90 clerks, nine judges, 99 sets of eyeballs there. Everyone has to get a copy of the cert. So that's 99 copies. So obviously there's some expense involved in filing the suit. But the judges might not even know this even exists. Another thing he said about pro se litigants, about the clerk of the Supreme Court calling the petitioner and saying, can you get it to us by this time? And can you do this? And can you do that? Uplifting, making sure, oh my gosh, wow, you know, they're showing interest in this case. No, they're showing interest in form and format only. That's all they're doing. When a plaintiff is pro se in a legal case, and I can tell you this from personal experience, I cannot expand upon what I'm thinking, but I can tell you, when a person is pro se in litigation, the court will go out of their way to make sure that they have everything, all of their I's dotted and their T's crossed. That's the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there is. I think that's a good thing. Sometimes it provides the impression that they're on the litigants who's pro se on their side. No, take that for what it's worth. But here's the bottom line, and here's why I mentioned this, is because this is really getting a lot of play. A lot of play in social media, a lot of alternative talk show hosts are talking about this, saying, "Hey, this could work. This could we could actually, because of the law, we could actually have half the Biden and Harris thrown out, and half the representatives thrown out, and the people whose job it is to make sure that they upheld their oath to the Constitution in the 2020 election process, we could have them thrown out by way of a Supreme Court decision? No. And they'll point to, as the article Uncovered DC stated, they'll point to Bush v. Gore back in 2000. Well, the Supreme Court decided that. Not the same. Not even close to being the same. And the author of the article gets into that as well. So I want you to really understand that, because that it is so critical, I believe, that we must be proactive. And we have to ensure that changes are made. Because this year, folks, I'll just say this. I spent the last week talking with a number of alternative talk show hosts. Names you know. Talking about what they thought was going to happen in 2023. What's on the slate? And then this morning in earlier today, I spoke with Eric the Tech to get his take on things, because he's got a good mind and he knows. I mean, he's an investigator himself and he knows. He knows everything that goes on here and everything that, that's going on in the world. I think he's got a great handle on. And I asked him for his insight, just as I asked for others, the insight of others. And I'm talking about other talk show hosts. And to the person, they said, it's only going to get worse this year. You could see a digital currency being put in place, not backed by gold or anything like that. Essentially, more of the same, except more of a digital prison. That's what they're saying. It's going to be a digital prison. And if it's not a digital currency, most assuredly, the expansion of the already existent digital prison we find ourselves, in which we find ourselves. There is a widening, well, despite appearances, and I want you to think about this, there is a widening gap between, I'll just use Fox News as an example, or Tucker Carlson, who seems to be about the best on Fox News in my view. There's a widening gap between what he is saying and what the conservative hosts are saying. The best of the best. I mean, the reliable ones. I'm not talking about the ones that I'm talking about the ones that I know most people I correspond with or I receive emails from. Look, I know who you listen to. And I know most of the people, or to the person, all of the talk show hosts I spoke with this past week said, look, we expect something to happen or a series of events to happen, whether it's internal or external or both, meaning some sort of domestic event, which I've got some news on, or internal event, which I have some news on, or the external war, be it Ukraine or the Middle East or whatever, to set off additional lockdowns or additional draconian measures here in the United States. All of this leading to what? To the biblical end of days. I believe that to be the case. Whether they succeed or not, I think, is going to, they're not going to succeed because we know how the book ends, right? But how far they get is going to be up to you and I. How far they get is going to be up to Eric and myself. This platform, Alex Jones, Mike Adams, Steve Quayle, you know the people. We have to take a look and we have to say, okay, how can we best fight against what they, meaning the people behind this agenda, how can we be most effective in tamping down or at least delaying the events that they're trying to push through? And I think the one thing to the person, because I asked this myself to the various hosts, to the person, they said, look, the more people that we can show what's happening, the more people that we can red pill, or if you will, or whatever, inform, the more ground we'll gain. And of course, the more successful we'll be in delaying what their agenda is. And I happen to agree with that. Now, again, as well-intentioned as I believe this Brunson case, getting back to that just briefly, as well-intentioned as that is, I believe that I don't want to spend another minute talking about it. And I certainly don't want to spend any time reading the emails about it. Okay, this is my position on it. And you know what? I wish I was wrong, but technically I'm not going to be wrong, because even if the Supreme Court heard it. There's nothing they could do about it because of the separation of powers, the three branches of government. And again, it's much different than Clinton versus or Bush v. Gore back in 2000. So I'm going to end that right there. But one thing I want to point out here is this. There is a warning that you didn't hear about. And I've got just this weird, the more I read about this and the more I looked at the government documents on this, the government warnings on this, the more concerned I got. I don't think, I believe that that something is going to happen, okay, with respect to something here in the United States this year. I believe that we are looking at an event or series of events that will require, and I would do the dreaded air quotes, but no, that will require a lockdown of sorts, a require of suspension of liberties. Think Boston bombing type thing. Think 9/11 type thing. So if we can show the last link, I didn't even number these pages for today. Boy, I'll tell you, what a week, a few days off and a lot of research, what that does, right? So it would be the last link on the show prep today. And folks, same thing. This is about the CIA, Al-Qaeda planning an attack. Let's just take a look at this. Okay, the reason, again, this... Do I believe it's going to be Al-Qaeda? No. Do I think that there's something planned? Yes. Do I think that there could be components of Al-Qaeda or Islamic terrorism built into this? Yeah, I think so. We saw, and I don't know how many people heard about this, Times Square this year. There was an attack, a guy with a knife stabbing three people in Times Square over the New Year's. Did you hear about that, Eric, the tech?
I did not.
Okay.
But is that surprising?
No, not at all.
With that many people?
No. And it was in the name of Islam, though. Okay, it was done. It was a jihadist attack. But you're not going to hear that, okay, at all. So, look, this threat, regardless of what you think of it, didn't go away. There's still a threat. The company titled Atlas News picked up on a CIA warning, as well, an intelligence community warning, that states that Al-Qaeda is preparing for attacks. And the CIA released some information about this. And this is Atlas News. I did drill down on this. And yes, there is a warning put out by the intelligence community. Do I believe them? No, I don't believe them. In terms of, do I give them any credit whatsoever? No, not really. Not after 51 IC leaders lied and continue to lie. But something, this represents something, I believe. Now, there is chatter, and I remember doing radio shows talking about chatter. Oh, my goodness, chatter about potential threats. And let me tell you something. For every 50 threats, maybe one might be worthy of looking into. So as I drill down on this, as I've done in the past, yeah, this has some elements of legitimacy to it. But the fact that this has been uncovered, discovered, and the level of detail released, this could readily be, I don't want to say easily, but readily be put down. But what the jihadists here are talking about are suicide-type attacks like 9/11, except using different means, modes, and methods. Okay. Whatever that means. I've got nothing for you, except that the CIA is aware of this. And I find it interesting, too, that, for example, the attack in Times Square, and I'm kind of diverting just a little bit. But by the way, this is the stuff you'll find. What you're looking at on the screen, this is the kind of information you're going to find on the various Arabic language forums. The password protected Arabic language forums. I should state members only. Okay, and if you are lucky enough to have Arabic language speakers on staff, and if you can say the right things, do the right things, you can insert yourself into these communities and sub-communities and find this information. So this is real information. And in this particular publication that you're looking at, Al-Qaeda announced that large-scale attacks are being planned against the United States, again, possibly involving planes, that the new Muslim generation needs more suicide attackers. They're hiring folks. Okay. Now, they did expand on this, saying that the U.S. will witness the group's capabilities are still far reaching and its hands are unchained. In other words, we haven't done diddly squat to stop them. They added that Al-Qaeda is a stubborn opponent and will plan diligently for upcoming attacks. So take this for what this is worth. At least look at it this way. This is something that originated from the CIA as a warning to other intelligence groups in the United States saying, hey, Al-Qaeda's, and they're rearing their ugly head again, and watch out for specific attacks. Now, what does that say to you and I? Be vigilant. But is it vigilant about the attacks that they're talking about? You know, I'm thinking more in terms of be vigilant that, hey, any attack, they're looking for a reason. I believe they're looking for reasons to lock us down again. All right. I want to thank you folks. Now, you folks know that we were deplatformed right before the end of the year from Patreon.
Bzzz.
Gone. Which is fine. Now, Eric the Tech has devised a new system where all of the Patreon members will be notified, and will we have a meeting this coming Sunday?
Yes, no matter what.
Okay. Because yesterday was the first. It was the first. Did not want to impose upon the Patreon members. So if you are a Patreon member listening to this, we'll have a meeting a week from yesterday, this coming Sunday at 7 o'clock, like usual. The only difference, and Eric the Tech helped me out on this, the only difference is you will be notified
by way of email.
Thank you. All right. By way of email.
And they should have already gotten an email with this alert. So
okay. All right.
Make sure you check your spam boxes.
Check your spam boxes. You know, that stuff that's in your cupboard right behind the... Never mind.
But no. I did get some replies, so that means it was delivered.
Okay. Good. Good. Eric the Tech is on top of things. Let me tell you that. But I want to thank you for supporting us, because here's the situation. I believe that all of us at one point or another will be deplatformed. When I say deplatformed, we will be subjugated to certain conditions in order to do business in this country, in order to send our kids to school, in order to go to church, to travel, to do a lot of different things. And I think it's only going to accelerate. And maybe that's the theme for this year. The acceleration of the evil. The evil will be accelerating this year. And it will be targeting Christians and targeting conservatives, politically and ideological conservatives. And I believe that's going to happen this year. So I want to thank each and every one of you, however, for standing behind us. Because not only do we do this, do we do research and try to put out information that is important, I think, for everyone. We also are on the ground. Because we are a licensed investigative agency, we have capabilities and we have resources that other platforms don't. And that is not to put down any other platform whatsoever. That's only to say that we are able to dig a little bit deeper and legitimately have access to information databases, proprietary databases that other places don't. So we appreciate being able to do that and then share that information with you. But we also appreciate your support of us. And because at some point, I don't believe, and I was talking to Steve last week, a couple of times, I think all the time I was talking to him. God bless that man, by the way. And we were talking, and he says, you know, I don't know when it will be, but I just have a feeling. I have a feeling that it's probably going to be this year. When we won't be able to talk to our audience anymore. That we will be taken off the air. I could not disagree with him. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting us. You know, every piece of mail, like I say, I read every piece of mail. Every small, medium, large, whatever you consider that relativity, donation or contribution to keep us on the air, to offset expenses. Thank you. I read the notes. I really appreciate all of you. And so does Eric the Tech. We really do. We were talking about you collectively today. And what a great audience that we have. Thinking back to, my goodness, over a decade ago. I mean, thinking back then, the humble beginnings. And still humble, I should say humble median, not beginnings, but humble intermission almost, right? But again, thank you so much for that. And I want to thank, too, our corporate sponsors. Now, I do not allow any kind of anyone to sponsor with us that I don't personally use or believe in. And right now, I see a lot of funky things happening financially. So I really would urge everyone to prepare themselves as best they can financially right now. And one of the ways you can prepare that just makes sense is to get rid of high credit card debt. Man, if you talk about wasting money, throwing money away on high interest rate credit card loans, my goodness, get rid of those and do so by way of lightstream.com/Hagman. The hidden costs of carrying a balance on your credit card, especially if you've got a high APR, can be crippling. You know, the accumulation of interest, that goes against your available credit, and you pay on the card, and it seems like you never get ahead, and my goodness, what am I going to do? And you're caught in this vicious circle and cycle. And let me tell you something. Lightstream has come up with a great, just a fantastic deal for the listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. We appreciate them. If high interest rates are making it hard to make a dent in your credit card debt, now is the time to rethink your options and rethink it by going to lightstream.com/Hagman. A credit card consolidation from Lightstream. They can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rates. Now, rates started just, rates started at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. I love this company. I've seen this company do magic, it seems like, for my wife's niece and for some others who were just drowning in credit card debt with high interest rates. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval. Rates range from 7.99% APR to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. 0.50% auto pay discount, that is. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll thank me later. You'll be glad you did. And I want to thank the fine folks at Lightstream for taking care of our listeners and viewers. I want to point out a couple of other things as well. Brownstone Institute came out with an article. This was last week. And I read this. Michael Singer is the author of this. This, I believe, was, this was earlier. Well, maybe it was a frankly, I'm not sure the date of the article, but you can find it if you go to the Brownstone Institute. The link will be in the program description box. 50 questions to which we demand answers. Writes Michael Singer, the author of this, and I thought this was a well-written article. I thought the questions were right on the money. Writes the author, in the aftermath of the world's catastrophic response to COVID-19. Some governments have begun conducting inquiries into what went wrong. Yet, owing to a combination of politics, face-saving, and outright corruption, these inquiries have generally been toothless. For example, a report published last year by the UK House of Commons concluded backwardly that the UK had gone into strict lockdown 3 days sooner, that if they had gone into lockdown 3 days sooner, disaster would have been averted. Now, such conclusions like this are as insulting to your and my intelligence as was the response to the plandemic itself. And he goes on. However, some of the questions, I'm going to read like five or six. So, question one. Why did the CDC suddenly adopt measures to increase social distance as an official policy back in 2004? Contrary to everything, contrary to all of the epidemiological guidance as it developed throughout the 20th century. It just, none of it made sense. That didn't make sense. What was the basis? This is question five, part of it. When and on what basis did the World Health Organization make the decision to recreate China's lockdowns? They began in Italy, if you recall. Deborah Birx, you remember her, the scarf lady, right? Former White House coronavirus response coordinator. She made conflicting statements about how she got her job. And this is critical as well, especially as we see Fauci going out the door this past weekend. Last day was on Saturday. They threw a retirement party for him, and my invitation, I think Eric, did you get one? Mine was lost in the mail. But anyway, Deborah Birx has made some very conflicting remarks and statements about how she got her job. For example, the former deputy national security advisor offered her a job in the White House as public health security advisor as far back as November 19th. But how was she chosen exactly for that role? And why then? Who was behind the terror campaign of the fake videos? Remember all the videos we saw showing residents of Wuhan spontaneously dying and convulsing in the streets? That was in January and February of 2020. Now, this article goes on and on. There's 50 questions. I would take this article, and here it is right here. If you want the overhead cam, you can see it. If not, it's no worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. But the fact is, this article here, I think, has, if you've got a very stubborn individual in your family, just hand them this article in terms of the, because none of this really brings up the more, how can I put this, the more controversial issues. The myocarditis, the pericarditis. All right. Thank you for that, by the way. We don't have John, do we? All right. All right. We only have a few minutes. We only have about 10 minutes left of the show. I want to do this. If I can direct, let me just see if I can do this. John, are you still getting married? All right. If we can play a few minutes of this, one of the more important things I believe that we have to pay attention to at on Rumble, Bannon's War Room. Eric the Tech, I don't know if I need you to send, if you need me to send you a link to this, or if you can. Okay. Joe Allen, this would be, I don't know, about 7, 8 down. Joe Allen, 2022 saw actualization of transhumanist fantasy worlds. Singularity coming faster than expected. This video is perhaps one of the most important ones for people who are watching the convergence of this digital prison being built for all of us. This is perhaps one of the most important videos you can watch with respect to what happened last year and what I think is going to be happening in 2023. Let me know when you can grab that and play that. Okay. Yeah, we're getting through the ads that are on there. But this is one of the, again, what we're looking at here. If we don't see a war expand with respect, and tomorrow, oh, you've got to tune, please tune in tomorrow to the show, because I'm going to be talking about what is really taking place in Ukraine. I'm going to talk about what's really taking place in the Middle East and the role Obama has and some on the right in the right now currently serving in the House and the Senate and some people in the State Department, the roles that they've played from Arab Spring and even before to the war in Ukraine. And that does include the Bidens and Hunter Biden as well. We have it? All right. Just if we can play just a few minutes of this right now. Again, please watch this on your own. Here it is. This is from Bannon's War Room, Joe Allen.
Joe, we got a cold open. We'll get to it in a second, but I just want to ask you, this is not quite the inflection point, but we're very close. And I keep saying that we're accelerating at an accelerating rate on the convergence of all those robotics, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, CRISPR or biotechnology, all those that can, that get us to the singularity, that we are decades ahead of where people originally thought this was going to be. So I think this year was kind of, we're very close to an inflection point, but I'd like your kind of assessment and summary of where we are, what 2022 was before we go to your cold open.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I try to emphasize is that the hype always moves ahead of the actuality, and that can really give an illusion that everything is basically under control, everything's okay. They're just hyping these technologies that don't yet exist. They're hyping technologies that won't exist. Whether they exist or not, we argue a lot about the secret labs and what they may have in there. No one really knows. Whether they will exist, I think, is an entirely different question. And what we've seen in 2022 is really an acceleration towards the actualization of all these sorts of fantasy worlds that transhumanists or techno-optimists or futurists have put ahead of us. So on the genetics front, you had a real groundbreaking experiment, which is now pretty much going forward will be a policy with CRISPR, in which a man was injected with CRISPR molecules, that then enzymes that change the DNA in his liver in order to reduce his cholesterol. That might sound small, but that really is a huge leap forward in showing that you can alter someone's genes while they are alive and completely change their biological makeup selectively. That rides on the back of Joe Biden's executive order on biotechnology and biomanufacturing, which is going to dump at least a billion, if not billions of dollars, into university labs and probably eventually other corporate labs in order to push forward the ability for scientists to alter the human genome. That includes gene therapies to alter the genome of people alive. That also will probably include in the near future germline engineering, meaning that people will begin to start ordering designer babies. On the other side of that, you've got artificial intelligence, and we've seen the actual power of artificial intelligence through Google's AlphaFold to correctly predict the way in which protein will fold and then function according to the mutations that you put into a genome strand, a genetic strand. You've also seen, and I think this is really, really important, you've also seen the release in the last few weeks of these chatbots, such as ChatGPT. And the power of this really can't be overstated. When you have an artificial intelligence that's able to answer questions in a reasonably human-like form, and when you have a huge swath of the population that wants these sorts of chatbots, that wants this relationship with artificial intelligence, then you really are, in that sense, at an inflection point with human relationship to AI, that sort of human AI symbiosis that they're always talking about. And I've played around with ChatGPT myself. I've seen the results, which are far more striking. And whether it's accurate or not, whether or not it is something that the rest of us desire, it's here, it's going to spread, it's coming fast, and it's going to improve.
Okay, you can cut it right there. Please watch the entire episode with Joe Allen, because there's a lot of information in there. And I want to make something clear as well. The Republicans are slated to take over in the House and, of course, launch investigations. Again, I'm not full of hopium. I would like to see, for example, Anthony Fauci charged with crimes against humanity. I know you would too, but I'm not holding my breath. And you know, we put a lot of effort into our desires to have other agencies of our government charged for crimes against humanity. But do you know who funded the gain of function with respect to this particular virus? It was USAID. Now, this according to an author, let me just make sure. Well, USAID and Andrew Huff, I believe it is, the author. One more thing on this. The gain of function work proposed by Echo Health Alliance, and you've heard me talk about Echo Health Alliance, was first funded by USAID, not Anthony Fauci, not NIH, not NIAID. Again, we have to be accurate in our investigative findings. Without USAID's funding, I might add, the relationship between Echo Health Alliance, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill would never have occurred. So let's just make sure we understand that. All right. That'll do it for me today. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. Please tell everyone you know about this program. I've got a lot of announcements as well tomorrow to make. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Have a great day.